So I want to tell you this morning that this message comes, again, from a very personal place for me, because this morning we're talking about Jesus' command to not worry. And I tend to be someone who struggles with worry. I used to say, prior to this week, I am a worrier. And then I really felt challenged by the Holy Spirit this week to say, that the Holy Spirit said, Lizzie, stop saying that you are a worrier. That's not who you are. That's not who I've created you to be. That is not your identity. But you do struggle with worry. So let's work on that, because worry is a struggle for me. And as I've gone through life and as I've been in different churches and different ministries, I've recognized that worry is oftentimes a struggle for most people. If you are alive and breathing today, there's a tendency to worry at different times. And just as what Pastor Tyler said this morning, there seems to be this disconnect between what we know and between what we believe and then actually how we act or how we live. We know what the Bible says, and if you don't yet, we're going to know what the Bible says about worry. We can even believe. I believe this. I believe that Jesus says, do not worry. But when life happens, and when the storms come, all of a sudden the way that we act, the way that we live our lives, doesn't quite come into alignment with what we know and what we believe. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit said this week to me, you need to renew your mind. Romans chapter 12 talks about us being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And what I've discovered is that for me, when we're talking about worry, the battle that I have with worry often begins with my eyes. Okay, it begins with what I see, with what I focus on, and with where my attention is drawn to. And it's like what I see and what I focus on becomes my reality. I see this situation, and all of a sudden, this is what's real to me. But is it God's reality? I'm wondering what you are looking at today. What has your focus or your attention this morning that perhaps is stealing your peace? Perhaps it is destroying you. Perhaps it's enhancing worry. What is the thing that right now has your attention? Maybe it's a health diagnosis. Maybe it's just a health struggle and the unknowns that come with that. Maybe it's a bank balance and you don't know how you're going to get through the week. Maybe it's a breakdown in relationship. Perhaps it's an addiction that you continue to go back to. Maybe it's anger or a cycle of depression. What is it that has your attention today? What are your eyes focusing on? Because if our eyes are focusing on the storms, on the things that cause worry, the Bible tells us that what we're actually letting in is darkness and not light. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, it says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? This is Jesus speaking to us. Basically, he's saying, be careful what you let in. Be careful what you see. Be careful what is getting your attention and your focus. Because the battle begins with the eyes. So if we're letting in things that cause worry, that distract, that bring us down, there is a process that we need to step into, and it is the process of renewing our minds. So how do we do that? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles this morning. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. If ever there was a moment for an amen or a duh, Jesus, it's right there. Each day has trouble. Each day has worry. The potential to worry. But Jesus says, do not worry. Jesus tells us multiple times in this passage, do not worry. He is repetitive. He is specific. He knows that we need to be reminded, that we need to be told again and again, do not worry. Do not worry about food. Do not worry about clothing. Do not worry about your daily provision. And this isn't even in just these few verses. This entire chapter, Jesus is calling his people to a deeper place of trust and of faith. At the beginning of the chapter, he says, you want to know how to pray? This is how you pray. And in that prayer, you are to pray for your daily provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. We expect that God is going to provide. A few verses before this, Jesus says, do not have two masters. You can't. You can't serve God and money. Be faithful to serve the Lord and trust that he is going to take care of everything else. This entire chapter is based upon these tangible things, the things that we need in our daily lives. And what is the basic message that Jesus is just drilling into us? Of all these things, do not worry. Do not worry. It's so prescriptive. And if you are like me at all, where you love to get like the list and check the things off, yes, I've succeeded, I've done that, I got an A+, I love it, look at me succeeding. A passage like this, which is very prescriptive, where Jesus says, do not worry, I'm like, oh shoot, I've already messed up. Now I'm worrying about the fact that I can't stop worrying. And oftentimes I'm going to Jesus in those moments, do you not see my situation? Do you not know what I'm going through? Do you not know my current reality? But see, Jesus doesn't just leave us a command. He doesn't just say, do not worry, and then he moves on to another do not. Jesus actually tells us how we are to not worry. He says first, look at the birds. What? The birds? He says, look at the flowers of the field. Really? That means I got to get off my couch. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant. They don't harvest. They don't store food in barns. And yet, they have everything they need because your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus says, look at the flowers of the field. They don't work. They don't make their own clothing, and yet they are more beautiful than Solomon was in all of his splendor. See, Jesus knows that the battle begins with our eyes. So what does he do? He tells us what to look at. Stop looking at your situation. Would you look at my awesome and creative power? Would you look at the provision that I have made in creation? Have you spent time purposefully observing creation? Purposefully looking at the birds and at the flowers? Before this week, friends, I got to tell you, I haven't spent a lot of time purposefully looking at creation. But God impressed upon my heart this week that I needed to do it, that I needed to actually go out to a nature trail, get off my couch, leave my tea at home, and sit in nature just observing the beauty and the majesty of his creation. And there was early on in the week a moment where, guess where I was, sitting on my couch drinking my tea. Actually, I don't drink tea that often. I was drinking coffee, but tea sounds nicer. But anyways, I was sitting there, very cozy, and I looked out on my porch, and we have one flower, basically, that's survived Lizzie. And it's there, and it's blooming, and it's beautiful, and it's yellow. And then this hummingbird came down and began to do whatever hummingbirds do, drink nectar. You know, and it was this beautiful moment. And I thought, check. I looked at the birds. I looked at the flowers. I didn't even have to get off my couch. And then we had home group, and I shared a bit of my struggle. And my home group friends, they're like, Lizzie, you need to get out into nature and see the beauty of creation. And so the next day, I had Tyler drop me off. I'm down on this nature trail near the ocean. There's like a million steps to get down, so I only made it halfway down. Dave and Lainey, it's by your place. And I made it halfway down, and there was this bench. And I'm like, I'm going to sit on this bench. And just for a couple of minutes, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I just want you to sit in this peace. Just close your eyes and just take a few minutes to listen. And at first, all I could hear was the crashing waves. That was it. It was just like, it was very loud. You know how waves are. They were just kind of all-encompassing. But the more that I sat there, the more that I began to hear. I started by hearing the birds that were like, caw, caw, whatever kind that is, a crow. You know, they were loud. And I'm like, I could still hear the ocean. You could see my struggle. So I heard those birds. And then I just kept sitting in silence. And then I began to hear these other sweet little birds. Like you could tell, they just had this beautiful song that they were singing. And I began to hear, I can hear birds far away. I can hear birds that are up close. I could hear little scurryings happening in the forest. I could still hear the waves. But it was like all of a sudden I was more in tune with what God was doing there in that space. And it was this beautiful symphony of sound that God set in order. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit said, okay, Lizzie, now I want you to open your eyes. And so I lay down on this bench, and I'm sure that the people that were doing their exercise up and down the stairs thought, who is this crazy person laying on the bench in the middle of the forest? But I was obedient, and I lay there, still and quiet, and I just looked up. And you could see, you know, all the beautiful different trees and the leaves, and the sun was shining through. And I was just so struck by the awesomeness that was there in creation. Multiple different types of trees. I don't know anything about any of them, but I can tell you that it was beautiful. And as I was staring up at the trees, all of a sudden, this little, I call it a helicopter, came down. You know, the helicopter seeds. I learned this week it's called a Samara seed. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's a little helicopter whirly thing that falls down. Did you know that that is actually a seed? And did you know, I know you all know this, did you know that the reason that it whirls like this is so that the wind can blow it exactly where it needs to go, where it is not fighting with other seeds for the nutrients of the soil or for the sunlight? You know who set that in motion? God. And I'm just lying there, and these little Samara leaves are flying, and I'm watching them as they're landing in different places of the forest. What a creative God that we serve, who set it all in motion by a word. Then I'm laying there, and the biggest, blackest spider that I've ever seen in North America climbed up out of the bench and was like getting ready to climb on me. And so I sat up. I'm like, we're good here. And I continued now to just look out at the trees. I saw one tree that actually looked like it was three different trees intertwined in each other, and just how they were like growing up and in and around each other. It was just magnificent. I saw another stump of a tree. It was actually a tree that had fallen down, completely dead. But you know what was coming up out of it? New trees, new life springing up out of what was dead. I looked out at it, and this was a space that I had looked many times before in about the 30 minutes that I had been sitting there, where I hadn't seen anything. And all of a sudden, it was like I was focused in on God's creation, and I saw the most beautiful spider web with a big old spider right in the middle of it. And I thought, how did I miss that before? It was because I wasn't looking yet. When we go out into creation, when we do what Jesus says, look at the birds and look at the flowers of the field, all of a sudden it's like everything that I am dealing with, all of my issues, all of my troubles, they are so minuscule in comparison to the greatness of our God, who set it all in motion with just a word. So why do we worry? In Matthew chapter 8, we read about a story where Jesus was with his disciples. They were on a boat, and Jesus fell asleep. He's sleeping in the boat when a storm comes up, a really bad storm. It was a fierce storm. It was so bad that the disciples, they were panicking. They were freaking out. They thought, we are going to die. Meanwhile, Jesus is at the back of the boat sleeping. And do you know what the disciples did? In their panic and in their frantic state, they went and they woke him up. And Jesus stood up, and the first thing that he did is the Bible tells us he rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, "Peace, be still." And immediately there was a calm that settled over the sea. The storm was done, but he wasn't done his rebuke yet. And this, I think, sometimes is the part that we miss in this story. Because after he rebuked the wind and the waves, he turned to his disciples and he rebuked them. And do you know what he said to them? "Oh, you of little faith, why do you have so little faith?" Jesus was like, "I was asleep. Did you really think something bad was going to happen when I'm in the boat with you, perfectly at peace?" It's interesting that Jesus said to them, "Why do you have so little faith?" Because those are the same words that Jesus says to the followers in Matthew chapter 6, in this passage where he's saying, "Do not worry." He says, "Why do you have so little faith?" What is the storm that you tend to think Jesus is sleeping through, that you frantically go and wake him up for? It's like we think he's like sleeping on the job. Did you know that Jesus is fully aware of everything that you are going through today? Jesus' message to us is, do not worry. We don't need to frantically go shake him awake. "Do you not see the storm?" He's fully aware. And he still says, do not worry. Look at the birds, look at the flowers. And then Jesus says, "And now seek my kingdom." He says, "Get your eyes off of the storm and onto me." There's another time where Jesus had sent his disciples on ahead of him in a boat. They were going to another location. Jesus stayed behind for a little while. He took time by himself to pray. And as he went to go be with the disciples, recognized that they're already long gone. And so what does Jesus do? He walks on the water to get out to them, right? He's like, "Well, I'll just meet them out in the middle of the water. And as he's walking on the water, the disciples see him. They don't know who he is. So they have this moment of panic, but then they realize this is Jesus. This is our Lord. He's walking on water. Of course he is, because he's in control. And Peter looks at Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, would you call me out to you?" And Jesus does. He says, "Okay, Peter, come." And as Peter stepped out of the boat and stepped onto the water, he had his eyes on Jesus, and he was able to do what Jesus had called him to do, which in that moment was walk on water. But then the Bible tells us that Peter started to look around at the storm that was raging around him in this moment. He looked at the wind, he looked at the waves, and what happened? He began to sink. Why? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to focus on other things. And as soon as his focus shifted, do you know what Jesus said? Why do you have so little faith? Same thing. Do not worry. Why do you have so little faith? Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 to seek his kingdom, to seek God, to look at him, to focus on him, to choose to not allow the storms of your life to dictate your next move. Don't allow the storms to stop you from stepping into what God is calling you to. Don't allow the storms to inhibit you from being obedient to the Lord. Don't allow the storm to change how you would respond. Ask God, seek him, and know that he will take care of the rest. How are we to seek God? How do we do this? Well, I believe first we have to be purposeful in having our eyes and our focus, our heart and our attention on him. We have to be purposeful about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, not on our storm. And then second is to quiet the noise, to quiet the storm that's inside of you. And for me, that's very difficult to do. For me personally, it is hard to not think about the thing that's causing worry. I don't know if you relate to that, but it's just like when you have a thing that's causing worry, it is somebody tells you, well, stop worrying about it. Oh, great. You know? How do we do that? How do I stop constantly like going back to this, going back to this, going back to this? I believe this goes with the next step, which is meditate on scripture. We have to renew our minds through the word of God. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This week, the scripture that the Lord gave me to meditate on was Psalm 46, verse 10, which says, be still and know that I am God. And it's really funny because this week, a couple days ago, Jen, who's a part of our home group, sent me a message. And she's like, Lizzie, I know that you know all these verses, but the Lord has just told me to give you this verse. It's Psalm 46, 10. I just believe that he has it for you. And little did you know, Jen, that that was the verse that the Lord gave me at the beginning of the week to be meditating on. Just all week, whenever my focus, whenever my eyes were drawn to this worrisome thing, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, would you just speak my word? Be still and know that I am God. Meditate on scripture means saying it over and over and over again. There is a coming under the authority of scripture. When we stop looking at this and we begin to speak out God's word, be still and know that I am God. Why was that the verse that I was meditating on this week? I believe it was because God took me to that place out in nature and said, look at the birds, look at the flowers of the field. Know that I am the God who set this all in motion. Know me. Be still and know that I am God. We need to reprogram, to rewire our brain so that it comes into alignment with God's word and his promises to us. We do that by the transformation that happens through the renewing of our mind. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We are transformed from worry to trust, or from worry to just not worrying, when we renew our minds, when we begin to see God more clearly, when we see and we know his will and his purpose for us, when our eyes are fixed on him. Jesus says, do not worry. Look at the birds, look at the flowers, and seek me. What is your worry today? What is the thing that keeps pulling you down, keeps grabbing your attention and fighting for your focus? Would you submit that to this command of Jesus today? To the command of do not worry? Would you compare it to what he's telling us to look at? I think that was a great thing for me to do this week. This worry in comparison to the greatness that I witnessed and that I saw in nature, in God's creation, man, that doesn't even compare. Last week, Pastor Tyler talked about the vastness of creation, of the heavens. And the whole point, I talked to somebody after church, he said, I didn't really understand much of what Tyler said about all the science-y stuff. But I think what he meant was that God is just really, really big. And I'm like, yep. And see, when we take the thing that worries us and we compare it to the vastness of our God, to the greatness of our God, to what he is capable of, to what he has done, man, it puts things into a proper perspective. See, if we knew God the way that he intends us to, worry would not control us in the same way that it does today. And that's not a rebuke. That's just the truth. If we knew God the way that he actually is, worry would not have such a stronghold in our lives. So for me, this has been a sobering truth this week of know your God, Lizzie. Know what he is capable of. Know what he holds in his hands. Trust him. Do not worry. We surrender our worries. We submit them to God's test here. So what are we to do today to combat worry? We seek him. We live righteously. And we trust him by choosing not to worry. And that's the thing, friends. It is a choice. It is a choice each and every day. For me, it was a choice many times throughout each and every day this week. A choice to not worry. Now, I had to make that choice of shifting from this worrisome thing to submitting to God, to saying, be still and know that I am God. I had to make that shift probably 1,000 times this week. And I asked myself, I asked Tyler, I'm like, does this make me a failure? Like, I continue to go back to this. I continue to worry about this thing, even in the midst of God teaching me how to not worry. But friends, it's not a failure. It's an opportunity for us to know that every time I intentionally make that shift from worry to trust, that I am renewing my mind. Every time that I say, I'm not going to think about this, I'm going to think about the authority of Scripture. I'm going to think about the greatness of my God. I'm going to think about his authority over creation, that he hung everything where it is with just a command, with just a word. I am in the process of renewing my mind. And at some point, I will recognize I am thinking more about the greatness of God than I am about that worry. And that is when you know that that transformation is in full swing. His mercies are new every morning, every minute. It's why we sing, "Great is your faithfulness." Because he doesn't change. He's there. He's faithful. Do not worry. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Seek my kingdom. Worship team, would you come forward this morning? And this morning, we're going to move into a time of worship through music. And as we do this, I just want to encourage you today to take, if there is something that is preoccupying your mind this morning, or being an unsettled place in your heart, something of worry, then would you take this time to just surrender it to Jesus, to actively surrender, to say, Jesus, I don't want this to control me anymore. I don't want this to rob any more of my time or my peace. I surrender it to you. We're going to have the altar, that's what we call this here, the altar. We're going to have it open this morning. And this is a space where you can come and you can just physically lay things down at the feet of Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, when the people would come to the altar, there was this exchange. They would lay something down and they would receive from God healing, forgiveness. And for us, when we come to the altar, we can lay down the burdens, we can lay down the worries, we can physically set them down. And I believe there's a physical act for a spiritual reality, right? As we come and we just set it down at the feet of Jesus, recognizing that Jesus takes that. He's already at work. And he's going to give us peace. Church, I believe that we are all ministers. Here, if you know Jesus, if he is your Lord and Savior, you are equipped to minister to someone else. And so this morning, I just want us to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit. If you need some time to come forward and to just lay any burden down at the feet of Jesus, please do as we worship. If you're more comfortable doing that at your seat, you can. And then also, would you be sensitive to know, is God asking you today to pray for someone else in this room? To pray for them, to encourage them, to support them as they go through this process of surrender and renewing the mind. Let's minister to each other and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work here this morning. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are in control. And God, I thank you that you tell us, do not worry. Jesus, today we come in full surrender and we give to you those things that trouble us, that cause worry. And Jesus, we're going to walk away saying, we trust you. We trust you. So here is our surrender. In Jesus' name, amen.